Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
No Kofi Coburn, no Andre Curbelo, but Derek Piper makes his return to State Farm Center, leading Illinois. But Illinois, huge victory, shorthanded. It is by far the best win of the year, despite kind of just hanging on by a thread at the very end. 56-55 over number 10 Michigan State. There is the marquee win, and you do it without Kofi Coburn. You do it without Andre Curbelo. Curbelo in health and safety protocols. We'll get into that. Kofi Coburn still in the concussion protocol, but Derek Piper... there's a lot of things we got to get into. Illinois a little fortunate at the end to hold on to this victory, given some of the misses Michigan State had. Wide open from three, a 40% three-point shooting team, shoots 3 for 14, missed free throws at the end, or missed free throw at the end by Malik Hall. Illinois misses free throws at the end. So many opportunities that this could have gone the other way, but Illinois just finds a way to get a victory, and what a huge, massive victory. And they put themselves in position based on how they played in the first 30 minutes.
The net rankings don't care about style points or aesthetically pleasing or anything like that. And Illinois needed a really – I know the Iowa win is a nice win, a quad one win. They're only one going into this game. So, and you think about the Big Ten title chase, because the winner of this one was going to come out and be in sole possession of first place. So for Illinois to – get that without Kofi, without Curbelo, is pretty amazing for the way that Michigan State was playing coming into this game. Now we can talk about maybe some of their shortcomings, and just kind of as you handicap the top of the Big Ten, maybe towards the end of the podcast we can discuss that. But it was just one of those gritty, gutsy efforts where you had to bring the intensity defensively. You had to keep them out of transition, which for the most part they were able to do. And you had to have Michigan State miss shots because they're number 9 or number 8 in the country in three-point shooting, and they were horrible shooting the three tonight. And you need Trent Frazier to really take into the role of, I got to do a lot and put a lot on my shoulders. He was guarding Max Christie, who didn't do a whole lot. And then offensively, he was great, again, with the floor game, with making buckets. And I know he was 2 for 10 from three, but I just thought he was really, really good once again. And we'll talk about Luke Goody and his importance, but that's what it takes. And this is a league that you kind of have the back and forth, and it's tough to win on the road. And Illinois, to win a Big Ten title, needs to hold serve at home, and they're able to do that.
Yeah, if you thought of a way that Illinois had to win this game, like how could they win this game? It's make a bunch of threes, stop them from making threes, and that's what happened. Illinois 9 of 29, that's not very efficient, but you had to. You had to jack up threes. This team's just not, without Kofi Coburn, without Andre Curbelo, able to get those easy buckets. And Michigan State held the 3 of 14. Now, they missed some open shots in the second half. But in the first half, you forced them into a bunch of tough twos, Derek. First half, Michigan State has been a terrible with turnovers all year. They're the worst in the Big Ten in turnover rate, but usually their offensive rebounds make up for it, their defense, their efficiency shooting the ball. But tonight, 9 turnovers in the first half. Illinois scored 15 points off those. That was massive for Illinois. But Michigan State out-rebounds Illinois 41-27. Illinois drew even with them with points in the paint, but Michigan State really dominated in the paint, on the glass, and you knew they were going to make a big run at the end. In the second half at some point, Illinois couldn't run any offense, but they find a way to get the stops when they need them, and they get a little fortunate, right? Let's be honest. They got fortunate with some of those things with Michigan State, but you don't apologize for them because you gave yourself a chance, and somehow you held on. If that goes overtime, Malik Hall makes those 2 free throws at the end. I didn't like Illinois' chances, but you got to break, and just how big of a massive win is this, Derek? Like, you think about long-term, we'll talk about this, but the way they needed to win, they came out, and it was a huge response to Maryland, where Brad Underwood's questioning their fight, right? they brought the fight tonight. Michigan State came back because they're a heavyweight, and they staggered Illinois, and Illinois held on just long enough in that 12th round to kind of win by the card here.
Yeah, you can talk a lot about next man up and trying to just get through what Illinois is going through. You lose this game and you drop, three games in the Big Ten. You're a game and a half, I think, out in the Big Ten title chase. You'd start to really maybe feel bad for yourself and question how things are going or if things are going to come together for you this season. And it was a chance when you look at in February and the road games you got to play. You got to play at Michigan State. You got to play at Michigan. You got to play at Indiana and Purdue. And this was a big chance to right the ship. And it said a lot about the veterans. It said a lot about the culture. And, yeah, this was one of those, maybe late 2000s Bruce Weber versus Tom Izzo rock fights that aren't super, fun to watch. I mean, it was great. It was a battle. It was a Big Ten battle, old school rock fight, whatever you want to call it. And Illinois found a way to get it done. I mean, closing time in the last 5.5 minutes where you don't score, that's – you're fortunate there. You're definitely fortunate. But I think big picture, what does it mean? It means a lot in the title chase. It means a lot being a quad one win. Now, is Michigan State going to be top 10, top 15 in the country at the end of the year? I don't think so. I think that they miss the fact that they don't have a bona fide star or a go-to player. Like, Christie's their guy, but he's inconsistent up and down as a freshman. Their offense, when you make them play in the half court, is not very good. So Illinois defensively, their coach was demanding a lot better out of them. They gave that. They got some decent minutes out of their bigs. Like, for BBB and Payne to be that serviceable tonight said a lot against Bingham and the rotation that Michigan State has. So all in all, you're very pleased with that one. I know Brad was.
Yeah, I got some thoughts about the Big Ten title race and Michigan State and how they stack up a little bit later. Before we get to the Luke Goody 5-minute segment of just praising him and thinking what he's going to be, not only the rest of the season, but in his career, I do want to shout out Benjamin Bossman's Verdonk and Omar Payne. I thought those guys were massive. They did not replace Kofi, right? They combined for 15 points and 6 rebounds. Omar Payne had 2 blocks. They also combined for 8 fouls, which helped Michigan State get a lot of foul shots in the second half because Illinois was in the double bonus, or Michigan State was in the bonus with 15 minutes left in the second half. But those guys battled, man. I think Bossman's Verdonk gave you some really quality minutes. He battled Bingham. And Bingham's turned into a really good all-around player for Michigan State, but he bothered him, forced him into tough shots. I thought, Payne had a few huge blocks, but more importantly, some huge offense, right? Back-to-back buckets that kind of held off a Michigan State run in the first half, and then a big one in the second half. I believe it was an and-one as Michigan State was making a run as well. And then a couple blocks. I mean, we know he can make an impact at the rim. Still get some stupid fouls every once in a while, but I thought for 35 minutes, those guys helped you battle with Bingham and then just a much better Michigan State front court with Kofi Coburn not there. So kudos to those guys. Those guys are going to get some high grades for me and my player grades.
Yeah, I'll be honest, sitting courtside, seeing the ball go into BBV the first time for a post-up against Bingham, I was like, oh, no, this is a really bad idea, and he banks one in. And there were a couple of times where I thought, especially late, Illinois wasn't making the smart play by throwing it inside to Bossman, but to go 4-for-7 from the field and eight points, 3 rebounds, just the way that he battled. And then Payne was a +9 in the plus-minus to get 2 blocks, to be able to catch a lob, and it was more confidence. And he made, like Brad said, a post move, which we really haven't seen all season. Bingham took over, I think, in the second half. He had a really good second half. He was +19 and +minus, so him not being on the floor for those other 20, 22 minutes when he was off, that was bad news for Michigan State. But, I mean, those aren't guys that we've talked a whole lot about this season, and to be out in against a top 10 team without Kofi, like, just to bring what they brought was a big deal.
I don't know if I'm going to go as far as Brad Underwood saying this guy's going to score 1,500 points in his career, because only 13 other Illini have done that, including Trent Frazier, who's now number 9 all time. He passed up Mark Smith, the 77-81 version of Mark Smith, and Brandon Paul tonight. So we know he's got 5 years to do this, but still a heck of an accomplishment for Trent Frazier, who's playing like an all Big Ten player. I think he's got to be a lock for a third team at the very least. Second team, I would probably put him in right now, given what he's meant to this team with Curbelo out, Coburn out so much. But Luke Goody, man, 9 points tonight. That's a season high, 3 of 4 from three. Those are huge shots, right? They needed some offense. Jacob Grandison was struggling. I thought Michigan State did a fantastic job on Alphonso Plummer, just denying him, right? Alphonso struggles to get space, and they were overplaying him. They were overplaying Frazier, and you can do that when Kofi Coburn's not on the court. But I thought Luke Goody's shots were big, but just his energy, he was so active, Derek, on defense. 4 rebounds were huge as well. He's a better rebounder right now than Jacob Grandison. Grandison's really struggling shooting the ball right now. So Luke Goody's going to be in that role next year, and I don't think you're going to miss any, like, not to say anything bad about Jacob Grandison, who's been great this year. But Goody comes up big in this one against the other team that recruited him really hard from the Big Ten. Just a huge performance from a kid who's always ready, Derek, a kid who's tough, and a kid who's always looking to shoot. Like, some of those guys in the second half didn't look ready to shoot. In the second half, didn't want to shoot. What a performance by the freshman. And I've kind of said I'd like to see him get a little bit of Grandison's minutes as some of these struggles have happened. Not to bench Grandison or anything here, because he's really important for the team. But Luke Goody's earning, I think, more here with this team, especially what he does rebounding-wise and just how solid he is as a true freshman.
There's not a lot of guys who go a month and only having made one shot, and then come into a night like this and be able to step up and have that confidence. And he made some good looks and buried the first two. And then when he does the pump fake, step back three, and you know that he's not blinking an eye. He's not batting an eye that's a top 10 team and that he's a freshman and he doesn't have experience. And it says a lot about him. And I know that if you would have looked at high school and some of the knocks on him might have been his athleticism and his body, and Tom Izzo even brought that up. I know that Michigan State ultimately offered, but you wouldn't think that as a freshman he'd be able to play in a physical game against Michigan State. And his energy and the fact that he has gotten stronger, he is very extremely active on the glass, and Illinois was just a better team with him on the floor. And I think that, you know, Brad addressed it in post game that he needs to get more of those minutes, whether it is for Grandison stealing a little bit from him or for Coleman, who I know that you got to see it maybe for a longer stretch of time, but Coleman's still inconsistent. And I think that there is maybe an opportunity for Goody to pass him up at the four spot. So this is a guy that we've talked about at different points in the year when he's shown these flashes, what he can ultimately be. I think he has a chance to be a higher ceiling. Like we talked about Matt McQuaid. I think he has a higher ceiling than that. He can be a marquee player as an upperclassman on this team. But in the meantime, like, if he can build on this, how valuable that would be off the bench as a shot maker and energy guy, and just someone that Brad Underwood has trusted from day one of this season. That's really, really important.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil, returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not going to survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd. Only on Paramount Plus.
I want to bring up this big point, Derek, and that is I asked Tom Izzo about Luke Goody, why he liked him, and I was thinking this during the game as he was playing in the first half. He reminds me of a Michigan State player, role player, in the most positive way. It's just a guy who's solid in what he does, a good culture guy, and then eventually he becomes an upperclassman like Malik Hall and Gabe Brown and plays his best basketball. It's just development. Good player, does good things for his team. And, you know, we mentioned Matt McQuaid so many times with him, but it feels like he can be even better than that. I agree with you. But that's the kind of player that has won so many games for Tom Izzo. And Brad Underwood has now beaten Michigan State for Luke Goody and now Ty Rogers. Illinois, the last 3 years here, is playing like Michigan State in the Big Ten, right? Like they are starting to mirror what a Michigan State program is, which is, what is the greatness of Tom Izzo? It's every year they have a chance. Every year they're getting a bite at the apple to win a Big Ten championship or to make a deep run in the tournament. They just get to the tournament so many times. They have this culture, and Brad Underwood called this a culture win, that you make these runs, and you have disappointments in the tournament, but then you follow them up with surprise runs in the tournament. That's the epitome. And Brad Underwood said tonight, like, that's what he wants his program to be. It's slowly starting to mirror what a Tom Izzo program is, which is like the biggest compliment I think Brad Underwood can get.
Yeah, that's super well said. I know that Michigan State had the national title in 2000, but really outside of that, and I know I'm not discrediting that, but the point is, like, early to mid 2000s, these two programs could look each other in the face, and they were pretty on a fairly even level and a lot of great battles, and were in the Big Ten title chase just about every year, if not every year. And now Illinois is back into that realm, and that, I mean, they're going to have to advance farther into the tournament to ultimately be considered on the Michigan State level. But yeah, I think that the cultures are very similar, what they're looking for. And yeah, I mean, Goody as a guy that's a low ego, chip on his shoulder, willing to, you know, learn behind some veteran guys. I mean, that's kind of been Michigan State's makeup too. They're not a one and done program. They've got older teams that are physical and just progress and develop players. So Luke Goody is a guy like that. And to win recruitments against, I mean, the Ty Rogers one, I saw Tim Anderson shake with Tom Izzo in the pregame, and there wasn't a lot of words exchanged, and I don't even know if Tim actually said anything, but that one had to feel good for him, knowing that they stole a player out of the state that Tom really, really wanted. And reminds you of, that's another one, just like Luke, of he looks like a Michigan State player, and that says a lot about Illinois to be able to win a battle like that, and then to compete with them in the Big Ten like they are.
Yeah, I asked Brad Underwood, do you, like, feel even better when you beat Tom Izzo, given the respect he has for him, like, the program he's had? And he didn't say yes. I can almost guarantee, I assume that he does, because that's a huge win over that kind of program for Goody, and then to do it with Ty Rogers, I think is huge. But, Derek, this does say a lot about Brad Underwood and his staff to get his team to respond like that. But Brad gave a lot of credit to his players, and I assume it's Trent Frazier to Monte Williams, but also just the culture they've built in that we respond, right? Like, we don't let these losing streaks happen. I mean, Illinois didn't have a losing streak last year, right? They didn't have three losses in a row at any point last season. So I think it says a lot about the program Brad's built, and obviously the senior leaders on this team. I mean, to have DeMonte Williams didn't put up big stats, but he held Gabe Brown in check. When Gabe Brown wasn't in transition, nothing came easy for him tonight. So I want to give DeMonte Williams some credit for that. That says a lot about this program, right? That you're able to respond that way, given the circumstances, that maybe the best player in the country, at least one of the top five players in the country, is not there. Curbelo out again due to health and safety protocols. We'll get into that here in a second. That's just what a response. What toughness that is from this team.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that Illinois has to adjust to their circumstances, because that's the spot they're in, and you can't really predict all these things, and you got to adapt. But you look around the league, and if you would have take Ivy off Purdue for a stretch of time, or take Johnny Davis off of Wisconsin, or whatever the case may be, or the argument, it would be really hard for those teams to win, even if this game was ugly, even if there's still some questions about holding water or treading water without those guys, I should say. It's just, this is a really tough team. It's a veteran team. Trent Frazier has won a lot of freaking games, man. I mean, for the first 2 years and how tough those stretches were, he has won a lot of games. The same can be said about DeMonte. And it's passed down. You just see the way that, like, Luke has bought in and followed their lead. So this was really a culture win. It was really a test the guts and how much fight you have. And Brad bought the boxing gloves into the film yesterday. And we know that there's a lot of jokes of, you know, even Izzo said yesterday, we got to block and tackle Kofi. I mean, this is the brand of basketball that these two teams play against each other. And Illinois outplayed, out-efforted, and they brought the toughness to beat Michigan State.
I'm just thinking, if Indiana didn't have Trace Jackson Davis for two Big Ten games, I don't think they'd be 5-4, right? If Ohio State didn't have E.J. Liddell for two Big Ten games. Now, maybe they can win those games, but Johnny Davis on Wisconsin, we know how important he's been. I think Michigan State could survive without some of their guys just because they're so deep, but it's a heck of a testament to Illinois that they're 14-5, 7-2 in the Big Ten. No matter what their schedule has been so far, Derek, just like Michigan State, these two have had pretty easy schedules here early. It really toughens up for them down the stretch, and Illinois, you're starting to see that now. While Ohio State, they're kind of on the decline of their schedule, where their schedule gets a little easier into February and March. It says a ton about this program, a ton about these guys, and a ton about the roster Brad Underwood is recruited to be able to have 11 games without a guy that was a preseason All-American and to do this. And now, what, five games without Kofi Coburn? This is really impressive stuff. Like, this is really impressive that Illinois has a record that we probably would have thought was similar to what we would have predicted at full strength. Like, that is really impressive by these guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And we talked a ton about being able to continue the success without Io last year. That said a lot about that team and being able to adapt and adjust and win on the road at Wisconsin and win at Michigan and just be able to do what they did and didn't hit a snag. And this year, to have to go through everything they've gone through, where it was a very, you know, adequate question to Trent, like, do you have any part of your body that doesn't hurt? That was asked, I think Rob McCauley asked that after the game, and he kind of he laughed it off or whatever. I think he said no. But that is kind of where Illinois is at. And so for him to just continue to play at such an outstanding level and to be able to just still be at the top of the Big Ten. I mean, the conversations we were having after, oh, man, the missed opportunity against Purdue and then going at Maryland when Purdue lost another one and just kind of where you're at, this team maybe doesn't have a signature win. Well, you win this game and you're sitting in first place in the Big Ten. Like, that's pretty darn amazing. And just – I know it's a continually updated stat, but you're like 21-3 in your last 24 games against Big Ten teams. Like, that's just crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. I do want to mention Kofi Coburn was in the arena. That's at least a positive sign that, you know, some guys who have concussions have to sit in a dark room for a while. So we don't know when he's going to come back. Andre Curbelo, Brad Underwood said after the Maryland game he had a fever. And there's a flu that's been going around the team. Coleman Hawkins apparently had it last week. We don't know many details of when, what happened. You hear little rumors or whatever, but all we can tell you is Illinois is not going to give us clear updates on Andre Curbelo's status due to privacy concerns for student athletes, but he's in health and safety protocols. That would probably suggest he's come down with the virus that is going through the country right now, right? So, don't know how long he will be out. Don't know the timing of all these things happening. Illinois does test when these guys have symptoms. Some tests come back, and then they get another test, right? So that's all we can assume from all of this. We don't know what is actually happening, but I think a lot of people can infer what did happen. And Brad Underwood was asked by Joey Wagner, are you concerned about, you know, this going through the team? He said they're masks, plus you've had 10 guys on the team already have it. So their immunity should be built up pretty well here. So don't know when Andre Curbelo will be back, but you hope Kofi Coburn can come back because obviously you missed him tonight, Derek. Rebounding-wise, you've been crushed the last couple games. And just getting an easy bucket, whether it's a putback, whether it's an easy dunk, or getting to the free throw line. Illinois had 7 free throw attempts. They missed, you know, 4 of them. And they missed a lot of front ends on a lot of those as well, so missed opportunities there. But that's one underrated thing about Kofi, is just getting easy buckets throughout the course of the game that just add up. And a lot of those actually come from the free throw line.
Yeah, definitely. And you also look at – you're not going to win a lot of games when you're, what is it, minus 14 on the glass. I mean, that's fortunate to be able to withstand that and still win this game. But Kofi takes that away from a lot of teams. Obviously getting second chance opportunities in addition to the free throws. But if you miss from three, Kofi can catch one. He's 3 feet away from the basket and be able to put it in. You can go through, run your offense through him. And for a guy like Plummer, who I know is probably waiting for Kofi to come back more than anybody, to attract the attention inside, to let a shooter like that get some open looks. So certainly it's hard because with Curbelo, I think it reminded a lot of people, not that we haven't seen it in sports where concussions vary from person to person or just the severity or just the reactions. It's really hard to predict. We don't know for sure when Kofi's going to be back. It's all about how he responds and gets through the process. And hopefully that is sooner rather than later. And with Curbelo, You hope that that's not something that triggers within the program. I know the coaches didn't get it when they had the COVID pause earlier this month. You hope that that's something that doesn't come to, you know, come to as an issue. So I don't know. And you feel really bad for Curbelo to fight back for two months to finally have that game against Purdue and not to be feeling well and it ultimately be COVID. It's just a guy that's been through a lot. So hopefully we see him sooner rather than later.
Yeah, man, just a tough year for Andre Curbelo. And I can't imagine, you know, the mental side of this for him. I mean, the physical he's obviously had to deal with, but the mental side of it has to be just as tough for him. I want to bring up Michigan State because it's a really deep team, Derek. They play hard. There's some good veterans on this team. My one question about them throughout the season is, who's the guy they can go to, right? Because, like, you know, on Illinois, whether it's Trent Frazier or Andre Curbelo, Alfonso Plummer at times, if he can set up a play for him, but, you know, Kofi Coburn, obviously, you have a guy you can go to and try to get a bucket or try to lift your team. This is really a sum of their parts. The one guy that is potentially great is Max Christie. He's not quite there yet, right? He's not the lottery pick some people projected him to be, but he's a really good player. He's been playing pretty well until tonight, where Illinois was really able to bother him. Trent Frazier was on him for most of the night. And while Max Christie is taller and probably, you know, weighs more, Trent Frazier's got that old man strength. He's quick. He's just 23-year-old going up against an 18-year-old. They shut him down. 1 for 8, 2 points. That's why even though Trent Frazier didn't have an efficient offensive night, he's going to get 5 stars from me tonight because of what he did to Max Christie. Is a good team. There's a really good Michigan State team. I think it's going to be in the Big Ten title race until the end just because it's Izzo. They do what they do really well. I just got that question if they have that guy who can take them over the top, right? Like, but some of the Izzo teams that have lacked that in the past make these Final Four runs. So maybe, like, Izzo's the ultimate wild card here, right? Because this is a talented team, but just doesn't have that guy right now that, you know, Tyson Walker's taking the shot at the end to try and tie it. That guy doesn't scare me, right? Like, if Max Christie can reach that level, then all of a sudden I think this Michigan State team goes to another level.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no Cassius that you're worrying about the ball in his hands at the end of the game. Even last year, Aaron Henry was one that could go get you one. That was what really was noticeable when the game was in the crunch time moments and it was in the half court and Michigan State had to run something or put the ball in someone's hands to go make a play. And the fact that it was Tyson Walker, I think Max Christie's a great catch and shoot guy. When he has a little bit of space to get his shot off and let it go, I know that he was off tonight, even on good looks, but he's not someone that off the dribble is going to kill you yet. I think that's something that still has to develop within his game. And he's just kind of been – he's been very, very good of late, but inconsistent on the season as a whole. And like Gabe Brown's great in transition, but when it's half-court game, like can he go make a play? That's a little bit more questionable. I mean, there's going to be nights where they make those threes, and it could have been tonight, and they would have won by double digits. So they have, over the course of the season, shot 40% from three. They do need transition, though. They need to play fast. They need to be able – and they have great, I mean, numbers defensively on the season and great upside because of all that length, because Bingham's one of the top shot blockers in the Big Ten. If they can turn their defense into offense, that's when they're a lot more scary.
So Gabe Brown is terrifying in transition.
Yeah, him going above the rim. Christie can do it too. Also be a quick catch on the wing and shoot guy. They got mobile bigs. They got quick point guards. When they don't shoot themselves in the foot with turnovers, they got to try to figure that out. But I agree with your point. I think their upside is more capped than, say, Illinois, than, say, Purdue. Yes. They're maybe more in the realm of Wisconsin. Yes. You do like their depth, and you do like Izzo. But, yeah, the fact they don't have that guy is kind of maybe one of their ultimate downfalls.
Right. If you're talking about Big Ten title, I mean, Michigan State and Wisconsin are going to be in this because they do what they do so well. They're so disciplined, so well coached. They have this scheme and system that works time after time. Purdue's the team I'm taking in the NCAA tournament to go the farthest just because the talents, the weapons they have, and I think no matter what team conference they're playing, they got matchup issues, right? Like, now I got to see them play better defense. Like, they don't play defense well enough for me to pick them over even like a UCLA right now. I just think when I get into the tournament, I want a team that defends consistently. Otherwise, it's going to kill you in some night. Ohio State's got talent. It just, is it going to mesh? Are those guards going to play well enough? I still think Illinois and Purdue are the best teams, at least when Illinois is healthy. But Michigan State and Wisconsin, I think, are going to stick in this race. I think it's a clear top five, Derek, right? Like Indiana, Rutgers, Iowa are tough outs. I do think Michigan can rise into that top five if that talent, if Houston and Diabate continue to play the way they are. Got questions about their guards, but their front court with Dickinson right now is playing really well. It's just, have they built too big of a deficit at this point? And are they going to play enough games to win enough games to win the Big Ten this year? So I think Michigan is going to be in that top six. I like them a little bit more in Indiana moving forward. But I still think it's, you know, Illinois and Purdue are the highest ceiling teams, still with high floors. But Michigan State and Wisconsin, I think, are giving them a run for the money. We'll see what Ohio State can do too.
Yeah, you said it, with Wisconsin and Michigan State doing what they do, and that being able, and also the fact of going to Kohl Center and going to Breslin are two really tough ways, you know, places to pull off wins. Definitely in terms of upside, it's Illinois and Purdue. Now, Purdue has to defend better. Ivy hasn't, I know in the game even against Illinois and some here recently, hasn't played all the way up to his potential.
Which is scary.
Which is scary. Yeah, it really is. There's something to be said of like Edie. The how much success he had against Kofi said a lot to me, because I wondered how, you know, that guy who can just be so much bigger than everybody else, and he is even bigger than Kofi, when he's matched in terms of that physicality, he's been impressive. And but they have dropped some games where, like at Indiana, at Rutgers, is that's something that's going to potentially hurt them down the road. We'll see. But yeah, NCAA tournament upside, Big Ten title chase, they're still going to be in it. Illinois starts to play there. There's a little bit of a gap when Illinois is at full strength and Purdue is Purdue. I think there's those two, and yeah, Michigan can be tough and can, you know, unseat Indiana, who Indiana doesn't win on the road. Like they're tough in Bloomington, but they don't win on the road. Ohio State still has some questions. So yeah, I think that Michigan State, Wisconsin, they'll definitely be in it. And I mean, if it's the last week and they're a game out or half game or whatever, it wouldn't be terribly surprising. But ultimate ceiling, it's Illinois and Purdue still.
I think there's a big game on Saturday, Derek. The good thing is you got, 5 days here until you play at Northwestern. So you hope Kofi can feel better, you can get through protocol, and you hope Andre Curbelo can get through his protocol as well. It's amazing how much we've used that word protocol around here the last year or so. But Northwestern, man, they fight. Like they don't, they're not efficient. Their guard play is not efficient whatsoever. But Boo Booey and Chase Audige can go off at some points. And they got skilled bigs with Pete Nance. You know, Ryan Young's played really well. So you feel better about the way Payne and Bosman's Verdonk played after tonight. And I think Bosman's Verdonk has really just battled for you. So I think he can give you a battle if Kofi can't go. I think it's a really important game. Like, if you want to win Big Ten championships, you got to win games like tonight against Michigan State. You also got to take care of business against the lower teams on the road in the Big Ten. And Northwestern gets up to play Illinois. Northwestern has given battles to a lot of good teams. They've lost 6 of 7, Derek, but they lose to Michigan State by 6. They lose to Penn State by 4. They lose to Ohio State. They were up most of that second half. Lose to them by 8. Take Maryland into double overtime and what looked like the Illinois-Rutgers Classic from 2016. They give Wisconsin a run for their money. Lose by 6. And then Purdue clobbered them. But then they beat Michigan State too. Like, they give battles to teams. So I don't think Illinois should expect, and I don't think they will, to go into Northwestern and just dominate, even though I imagine the crowd will be mostly orange there.
If you can lose at Maryland in the way that you lost, you could lose at Northwestern. And it, like you said perfectly, like they have been feisty, and there are nights where they're tough, and like they beat Michigan State and Breslin. That says a lot. That says a lot to me about their ability to, you know, play up to. I mean, they got 17 offensive rebounds in that game, and maybe that is a night where Michigan State overlooks them, and Illinois has shown the potential not to maybe bring the fight, as Brad has said. You got to be able to string that out and do that consistently. If Illinois is lacking that, it wouldn't be surprising if Northwestern is giving you problems. And I think that Pete Nance is a pretty darn good player, and could he outplay BBV and Omar Payne? Yeah, that could be a potential issue. Illinois should be able to handle business, and there is obviously the potential that Kofi would be back, and even I think you do the math of Curbelo and 5 days out, he could be back as well. But if those break against you, this is tougher than maybe you just say, okay, it's Northwestern, and you just chalk up that win.
Well, Derek Piper, good to have you back, man. Good to have you in the arena. And, boy, 3 top 10 games have really been great entertainment. Finally, one breaks Illinois' way. But man, State Farm Center crowds, like, sometimes they don't get the best games here because non-conference hasn't been great here. But Arizona comes to town, and what a game that was. Purdue last week didn't go Illinois' way, but just, I think, one of the best games we've seen here. And then tonight, it's Michigan State. Got a little too sweaty at the end, but Illinois finds a way to win. It's been a heck of a ride here this season.
Yeah, I mean, to bring the fans back, this is what you want. I mean, you want these great games. You want marquee matchups, and to see the number of fans, the orange crust that were lined up outside in the bitter cold for this one. I mean, that's what this is all about. That's what Big Ten basketball is about, and obviously what Illinois has taken pride in for a long time. You're on ESPN. It's just the perfect setup with a lot to play for in terms of the Quad One, in terms of the Big Ten title chase. And Illinois finally had one go your way. But, yeah, I mean, the Arizona game was awesome. I wasn't here for the Purdue game. I was very envious and jealous sitting and watching in my quarantine room at home. It's been a lot of fun. Still a lot of great battles here to come. But it's definitely great to be back. And this building has been fun to be in, that's for sure.
I thought it was a defensive clinic by Illinois in the first half. And then I want to say a championship contender's response in Michigan State, but what a game, what a win for Illinois, 56-55. I got some big games coming up, of course, Northwestern on the road. Then you host Wisconsin, another very important game atop of the Big Ten. And you go on the road in the Hoosier State, Indiana, and Purdue. So a huge stretch ahead, going to be a lot of fun games to cover. For Derek Piper, I'm Jeremy Warner. Thank you for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Give us a follow, a rating, and review wherever you get your podcast. And check out IlliniInquirer.com. Joey Wagner will have his story on the man of the night, the people's champion tonight, Luke Goody. And Derek Piper will have kind of a big takeaway on what this win means and all of the player grades as well. Thanks, as always, for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Until next time, everybody take care of each other. Have a great day. We will chat to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.